Hi, I'm Andy Finn, and I am begging you to listen to my show at www.andyfinn.us.
The Andy Finn Show, Uncommon Talk Radio.
We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and Mike, we're continuing a little bit longer with this whole issue of WMD in Iraq, because...
But why is that? We've obviously found them, so let's move on to the next issue.
Yeah, you sound like Stephen Colbert now.
Yeah.
I didn't see what Colbert did with this, but he does wonderful satire. So it's just really quite bizarre that there are Congress people out there. Santorum, Rick Santorum, is from the purple state of Pennsylvania, and he's in a fight for his life for re-election, and he's latching on to this WMD argument. It's really quite silly. So let's go through some of the people who are being suckered in by this or who've been wanting for a long time. I need to give some background for those of you who may have forgotten. At the time that we went into Iraq, and there was a whole group in the country that didn't think we should go in, and were saying that it's not worth it, and Saddam's not that big a threat, and he's not really a threat to the U.S. homeland, and all of that, people like Sean Hannity were saying on the air, when we find the weapons of mass destruction, essentially, I'm going to rub liberals' face in it, because that'll prove that he was a threat. Now, it wouldn't have proved, even if they'd found supplies of chemical and biological weapons that were up to date and produced recently, that to me would not have been proof that he was a threat to the U.S. homeland, which is what the Bush administration ultimately had to claim before the American people would let him go in. But even if they'd found those, I wouldn't have agreed with Hannity. But he was saying, when we find them, then we got you, liberals. Then you'll have to admit. Well, of course, we didn't find them, and they've been resisting admitting they were wrong this whole time, and they want you to believe they were taken, spirited off to Syria or something, or buried in the desert, right? All those possibilities. Well, so this comes along, and they grasp at the straws. So John Gibson comes out. He does the big story on Fox, and it's like shooting fish in a barrel with John Gibson. He's a little too easy to pick on because he's not, as I've said before, the brightest knife in the Fox News drawer. But here he goes on June 21st. This is a Fox News alert. That's a live shot from the Senate gallery where a news conference is going to be held shortly by Santorum and Hoekstra. I'm shortening it here. Quote, they finally managed to declassify Pentagon information, which shows that, in fact, WMD was found in Iraq. Of course, you remember Bush claimed that we found the WMDs 3 years ago. He made that claim, and then they had to back off it. That was the biological weapons lab they thought they'd found, and, mm-hmm. and they weren't biological weapons fans. And Bush slaps his forehead and says, my gosh, you mean Curveball lied to us? And now he's talking to Bill Kristol, Fox News political analyst. So Bill, you know, as the senator points out, even today, Democrats are saying, you hear it every day, no WMD, no WMD, and there are some that have been found. I guess my first question, I'm sure you don't know the factual answer, but why would it? Why would a senator have to fight to get documents like this declassified? Kristol. Well, that is the first question for me, Bill. My colleague Steve Hayes at the Weekly Standard has actually been fighting to get those documents for a couple of years. And he goes on. But who are they fighting? They're fighting the Bush administration. It's really kind of remarkable. You'd think the Bush administration would want to strengthen the case for the war in Iraq. And now Kristol's not is a smart guy. He goes on to say, and in fact, the fact is Saddam did not comply with the UN requirements that he account for all his missing chemical biological weapons. And Kristol's right. Saddam had promised to do that. Now, the problem is that what Dulfer said in the other interview on NPR was that they probably didn't even know this stuff was buried out in the desert. You know, sandstorms shift and move stuff around. You may be able to find it. You may not. It's degraded. Nobody cares about it anymore. It's not something you're ever going to dig up and use.
People forget how big Iraq is. It's not exactly a small little pissant country.
Well, and have you seen some of the pictures of the sandstorms?
Unfathomable to your average American.
I've seen some unbelievable pictures of the sandstorms coming in and what they do and what they cover up. Our soldiers have a very tough time. You know, we're there for another summer. And, you know, the original thinking, the pressure to go in by end of March was that we don't want our boys there in the heat of summer. Now we've been there the summer of 2003, 2004, 2005, and now they're going to be there the summer of 2006, right? 120 degrees when you're not air-conditioned, and a lot of our guys are not air-conditioned all the time. Mm-hmm. And sandstorms. I mean, you know how it is at the beach?
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, the desert is like that. The wind whips around the sand and it sticks to you.
Well, the wear and tear experienced by the equipment as well is just mind-boggling. That's another reason why the price tag for this whole little war is exceeding billions and billions and billions of dollars. We're having to refurbish all our weapon systems constantly.
Yeah, that's true.
It's ridiculous.
Well, I'm not going to go through too much more of this except to say that some of the analysts got it right, but people like Bill O'Reilly and John Gibson and a few of the and Sean Hannity want to jump on this and say, we found the weapons of mass destruction. Now the liberals should apologize to the Bush administration for saying there were none. Let's go back to the fundamental argument, and we're going to get out of this piece. The Bush administration said to the American people that Saddam was a threat to the homeland of the United States and that it was part of the war on terror. We had to go in and take him out, lest our homeland be attacked in some way that they kind of left vague. Well, these 500 WMD that they're all touting now on the right were not capable of being exploded and used the way they were intended to use because they were degraded over a period of approximately 20 years. So they are not the WMD that threatened the U.S. homeland. And what's amazing is that these guys are actually grasping for straws on this. You know, it's like it's very much like the Terry Schiavo case where they said, well, wait for the autopsy, it'll show you. Well, then the autopsy comes out and not a peep. So I'm a little tired of it, but you have to answer this stuff because when people are putting out nonsense, there's a percentage of the country that says, hey, you know, I'd like to listen to some nonsense tonight. And so they're not tuned into my show. They're tuned into Bill O'Reilly and John Gibson and Sean Hannity or Rush and Michael Savage on radio or Hannity on radio. And so you can't let this stuff go unanswered. And that's the only reason I'm boring you intelligent people to tears with these pieces tonight. So let's move on to another interesting issue, Mike, and that is missile defense. So North Korea is getting ready to explode this missile. What do you think we ought to do?
I think we should shoot it down.
And do you think we're capable of shooting it down?
Oh, apparently this new generation of Patriot missile battery that we're sending over to 3 bases in Japan, I believe, are capable. And I think that's part of the reason why we're sending them over there. Is to perhaps play with our toys to see if they work kind of thing.
Yeah, but what's
I'm sorry if I could just add one more comment. I'm very surprised to see the Japanese supporting this wholeheartedly, and I'm even wondering if it was their idea.
Well, the last missile that North Korea shot off was 98. So keep in mind, this is 8 years between their tests. And it wasn't particularly successful. It was a short-range, maybe they'd call it a medium-range missile, but they fired it over Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and they didn't announce that firing, I think.
I don't think they did. Now, no one believes that that North Korea knows how to put a nuke on top of a missile. You know, you need a pretty small nuke to put it on top of a missile. Mm-hmm. If you've ever seen the movie Goldfinger, those refrigerator-side nukes, they don't sit on top of missiles very well, especially not the kinds of missiles that North Korea has, which is not missiles like our missiles. But no, I'm talking about the missile defense system, actually, because, well, there's two aspects to this. The first is that North Korea is getting ready to test fire this, and the media went ballistic last week. Now, I covered this in detail on Thursday night, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it tonight, except to say that I made the point on Thursday night that this was much ado about nothing. This idea that we need to shoot this down, which is what a lot of analysts are saying, the saber rattlers are saying. Actually, a lot of them, there was an editorial in the Washington Post by two respected former administration people, not both hawks, that we should announce to North Korea that if they fully fuel this thing, and we can tell from satellite photos if they have done it, that we will destroy it on the launch pad before they can launch it, and warn them that we're going to do that, and then they should be reasonable and realize that we're not going to attack any place else on their mainland, and that we're just taking out that missile, and so they won't attack South Korea, and they won't send 1 million man and 20,000 tanks across the borders, and there won't be a great deal of bloodshed. They believe that that's a rational position. Keep in mind, North Korea is the government that has said that if we impose sanctions on them, they will consider it an act of war. Now, I know that a lot of what they do is bluff, But they do have a million soldiers poised across the Wan River from Seoul. And it's a short hop across from North Korea to Seoul.
It's less than 100 miles.
Oh, it's less than 5 miles.
No, it's not that close.
Yeah. The river's the borderline right there. Seoul is, I shouldn't say five, but I've been to the DMZ. Like Ronnie and like Bill Clinton and like George W. Bush, I faced down the commies on the north. I looked across there through binoculars.
Mm-hmm.
And there are tourists on the other side waving. No, the tourists are only on our side,
right?
South Korea's side. But it's quite close. It's only a matter of miles. It's nowhere near 100 miles.
Now, perhaps they're just doing this as a preemptive thing with these Patriots. Maybe just tell North Korea, hey, you know.
I agree with you. And here's the other problem. If we were to try and shoot it down and miss, bad PR. But I don't think they'll fire the next one over Japan, frankly. They may have been surprised at how bad the fallout was the last time they fired one over Japan. I think they'll just fire it out into the ocean, and it'll land somewhere around, you know, north of Hawaii. It isn't going to make it to the U.S. mainland.
Well, they're saying it's the Taipodong 2 is the name of the missile, and apparently it can reach parts of the U.S. Now, when they say the U.S., I don't know if they mean the contiguous U.S. or if they mean like parts of Alaska
The claim by the Hawks and the saber rattlers is that it could reach anywhere from California to Washington to the heartland, like Kansas City or Chicago. Now, I think that's way off.
I do too.
But here's the thing. When you define it as a medium-range missile, that range is something between, I don't know if it's 2,500 and 9,000 miles. Well, you measure off 9,000 miles, 6,000 miles, where you reach the coast or something. So that's the basis on which they say it. You know, if you remember Soviet technology, we thought that they were supermen and that they had super weapons, and it turns out they had rusty old things that didn't work quite right.
Yeah, they relied on sheer numbers.
They never had quite what we thought, but of course it's in the interest of our CIA and Pentagon not to underestimate the enemy. For one reason, if you underestimate, you look foolish, and you might get caught with your pants down. Secondly, you will get a bigger budget if you can convince the appropriators that the other side is armed to the teeth. So that's why historically we've overestimated the power of our enemy. Our technology has always been better, and it's still better. North Korea is a third world economy that's isolated, and my guess is they do not have very good technology. So let's take a short break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the threat from North Korea and why it was hyped so much in the last week, and then this whole notion of shooting it down with our SDI program, not the Patriot batteries, but the SDI that George W. Bush deployed to the field without much fanfare in the fall of 2004, claiming it was ready to go into the field.